Now broadcasting the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show, positioning your business with strategies for an extraordinary future. Dr. Nilda features expert guests from diverse backgrounds to bring you their stories and strategies that have helped them reach their success. The diversity in industries gives you that panoramic view from an array of industries. They are innovators, thought leaders, trendsetters, and strategists. Here, Dr. Nilda reveals strategies that will position you to be on the cutting edge and be able to do what you love with the people you like, making the profits you want to live the lifestyle that you have dreamed of. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nilda Perez.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nilda Foresight Strategy Show. Today, we have with us a very amazing person. He is going to be talking to us about technology and how technology will change our future. He is a futurist, and welcome, Thomas. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I'm really excited to have you because a lot of the things that you talk about technology, and honestly, technology, AI, is something that so many people are interested in, not only interested in, a little worried about, because it's taken on such a force in such a short time. AI has really changed our world and the way we do everything, from banking to education, everything. So we would like to know a little bit more about your perspective and how would you describe, you know, this future, and how will this actually change our lives?
Yeah, it's a great question. The artificial intelligence is starting to touch us in lots of different ways, but we're just scratching the surface, so to speak. Now, one of the things I remind people all the time is that the cars that we drive today have actually been in development for 120 years. And so when we have a new technology, it takes a long time to work our way through the crappy stages before we get to the really good stuff.
Right.
And with artificial intelligence, we're going to have several crappy stages to kind of work through before we get to the really good stuff. A lot of people have it in their heads that it's us versus them. It's AI versus the humans, or it's robots versus the humans, when it's actually going to be more about us with them. And so how we use this technology. So I think AI enhanced humans are going to become better artists. I think they're going to be better writers. I think they're going to be able to do a lot more things and accomplish much more in a day than any time in all history. So 20 years from now, the average person can probably accomplish 10 times as much in their lifetime as they can today.
Right. Well, I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and we were talking about AI because, you know, again, there's a lot of people that are embracing it, and there's a lot of people that are actually nervous about it. And I think probably more people are nervous about it than not. So we were talking about it. They were saying, you know, these are machines and these robots, they're so intelligent. And my point to them was, yes, they are intelligent, but they're taking from our intelligence. So it's what we put into that machine that's going to be what's going to spit out. So it's not like it has a personality and its own intelligence. That intelligence has a lot to do with us, which means that's where we should be. Understand the future and be able to perfect what we know. Would you agree?
Yeah, we have to train it on what to do, how to understand things. So if you have let's say you have a cleaning robot that's going to clean your house, and it's cleaning, it comes across a piece of paper, how does it know if that's a valuable piece of paper or if it's just trash?
Right.
It could be like a dollar bill, it could be a birth certificate, it could be something important, or it could just be a page torn out of a magazine that should get thrown away. So how does that AI, or how does that robot know whether or not that's valuable? It's the same as if you're cleaning the walls. Do you spray water on this outlet? Somebody has to teach it not to do that. And so all of these things are going to require human training, so to speak. But then the bad part is the human biases tend to go along with it then. And so as we're training it, we're teaching this robot what's important in our house. I mean, we don't realize this, but we place an emotional value on everything around our house. The couch has this much value, the lamp has this much value, and I like this chair better than that table. And so as we go along, we place different levels of importance on it. And those things will become important to kind of teach the bots and stuff that are around us.
I love that perspective because this is exactly how I teach it. We have a membership site where we have these little lessons because it's in these little pockets of knowledge that we're actually training people. And we do a lot of this with, giving them actual examples. And I think this is an excellent point. But here's another question. You talk about micro industries and how that's going to change the nature of work. Let's talk about that, those micro industries.
Yeah, I wrote a paper recently on how we're going to have 100,000 micro industries creep into our lives over the next couple decades. Now, every new industry starts as a micro industry. It's usually just one business or two businesses that crop up, and they start very small, and then some of them will catch on and they'll turn into major industries. Other ones will just kind of fizzle out.
Right.
Now, one example that I use is the shoe industry. And most of us can relate to the shoe industry. The three things that we come into contact with in the physical world most with is the shoes we walk in, the chairs we sit in, and the beds we sleep in. So I think we're going to have this never-ending stream of reinventing these things to make them better. Because we're always in search, we have this never-ending quest for the ultimate bed or the ultimate chair or the ultimate shoe. So right now, the shoe market for the world is every year is 21 billion pairs of shoes, roughly three pairs of shoes for every person on the planet. Now, the projections are that within 5 years, 5% will become smart shoes. That means that within 5 years, we're going to be selling a billion pair of smart shoes every year.
Okay. Will those be heels? Because I love my heels. I love my heels. And if they can engineer a heel that's super comfortable, I'm all in. I don't care what it costs. I'm all in.
Yeah. So what does a smart heel look like? I'm not sure.
We need to invent that.
But if we take shoes as an example, and we turn them into smart shoes. At the Consumer Electronics Show in January, there was a company selling smart shoes for people that were a fall risk. So if they fall over, then they'd send out an alert for somebody to help them back up again. And
wow.
I think that we're going to start having these hyper-individualized shoes that get created. And these shoes then will be very niche-specific. So we'll create specific shoes for people that play lacrosse, for people that are mountain climbers, for people that are amputees, people that are left-handed, people that play organ. And so you can start going down the line and you start seeing all of these really niche shoes that are out there. So let's take, for example, you happen to like going out jogging at night.
Right.
So when you go out jogging at night, your shoe recognizes it's dark out. So it automatically summons a drone to fly overhead with lights on that are shining a light on the path in front of you.
Fantastic.
Now, the shoe then also has a payment system built into it because you've already set this up and it'll start charging you $20 an hour to rent that drone to fly over your path. So it pays for that however long you're out. Right. And then when you go back in the house, then it disappears. You can have the same type of drone that when you walk out in the rain, it knows that it's wet out, and all of a sudden an umbrella drone starts flying over your head and protects you from the rain, also charging you $20 an hour or something like that.
Right.
So that's the type of world that we're moving into where it's not just our shoes, our clothes, everything's going to start communicating with each other.
That's fabulous. I love that idea. I just think it's awesome. Even alerting you because I live in a very rural area. So going out at night, as a matter of fact, I have a neighbor that has a tendency of going out at 4 in the morning. you know, it's something that I have to run out at 4 a.m. because I have to take my mom to work, and there's certain things that I have to do. And I'll be out there and I'm like, what on earth is she doing? It's dark out here. And so my pet peeve is she needs to be careful. I'm worried for her. And, right. And so, you know, having a smart shoe that can not only, it could alert her that there's a car coming. It could alert her that if there's animals, and that's the biggie. So sometimes they have, you know, in our area, we have, you know, bears, and we have animals that can attack because they're afraid, not because they would attack you typically, because at night they come out. So that's my concern for her, because the car lights she can see, but the animal she can't. So that's right. That's an excellent use of a smart shoe.
Right, right.
I love that.
Yeah. And so we're going to have a lot of ingenious people figuring out how to make smart shoes smarter.
So with that said, what are the other things when you talk about chairs? I know that there's been a huge change in the beds and the chairs that we use. What do you see in the future for that?
So a lot of the emerging technology that we have right now is the tools of creation, so to speak. Now, Chris Anderson, the former managing editor of Wired Magazine, he said that when the tools of production becomes available to everybody, everybody becomes a producer. And so it becomes very easy for us to use things like a 3D printer to print the parts, to test things out, to try things and to work on things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so so invariably we're going to start figuring out, people will figure out how to design chairs. Very likely we're going to scan the body of the person and we'll design a chair that perfectly fits that body. We'll probably start designing beds that are, they're constantly moving, constantly in motion, that rock people to sleep, that change all the pressure points. And so the amount of creativity that's going to go into this, I think, is going to be staggering, because I think we're going to just come up with so many ingenious new ideas.
Exactly.
And new things make it to the marketplace that just would have never had a chance 20 years ago.
Right. One of the interviews that we did with Tracy Hazard a few months back, she does 3D printing, and they create things from 3D printing. And she was saying the change and the people that are coming to her with these genius ideas, and, you know, of course they're the ones that create it, but they create a 3D print, they create the mock. And then from there, you know, of course they send it to get them made. But the idea that you can have an idea of something and you can bring it to someone who can actually create that for you, and you have that mock, it's a great place to start. So that's right. Fabulous. 3D printing has allowed us, then this is AI, has allowed us to be able to see things before, you know, they actually even happen. It's amazing. And then, you know, again, making it, perfecting it.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So let's say you're an artist and you're trying to sculpt something, you're trying to make something, and the image of what you're trying to do shows up visually in front of you. So then you have a pattern that overlays what you're trying to do. And so you have a guide, so to speak. So that makes it makes it easier. It takes a lot of the guesswork out of what you're trying to do. And so as an artist, then you can be much faster about how you're doing things, because you're not just working off a blank canvas all the time.
Exactly.
It's a starting point and give you an edge over other artists, so to speak.
Exactly. My niece is a graphic artist, and she does all of our graphic arts. And she was telling me that where they spend a lot of time, you know, once a logo is made, is trying to find the right configuration of colors. And she says, she could absolutely see where AI can just take that over and do that for her, because she says, I will be a lot more productive, because I'll spend a lot less time, you know, actually finding the right colors, she says, you know, it's so tedious, and people don't see that. They see a logo, they see the colors, and they're like, oh my God, I love that, but they don't realize what it takes. So she says, AI would just take that right off my table. I wouldn't even have to worry about that. And I could continue creating the logos and continue to being creative in the areas where I'm, you know, again, not so much most proficient, but definitely where she enjoys most. Right. Well,
you could have a logo that the colors actually change. They change into the colors that resonate with the viewer the most. It's
right.
The same with music and songs. They can have lyrics that change to our relatives, our kids. We can have little reference points to different people around us. And so suddenly it becomes very personalized. And that type of thing becomes in very possible in the near future. Kind of the AI-generated music, the AI-generated art, but it's right. Working with humans to do that. I think that's
exactly.
Where we become far more efficient and productive along the way.
And yeah, and it's efficiency, because that's the possibility that AI gives us, that ability to be a lot more efficient.
Exactly.
It cuts that time in
right.
half or even less, you know, so that's awesome. Yeah. So we've talked about artificial intelligence and how it changes our life. Let's talk a little bit about how it changes the economy.
Okay. Well, I mean, when people become more efficient, they can do more things.
Of course.
Now, I'll come about at this from a roundabout angle, but
okay.
Artificial intelligence is going to be the basis for all the driverless cars. I mean, we have to teach these cars how to drive right on the road. Now, the driverless cars are going to be, I think that driverless technologies will be the most disruptive technology in all history. I think it's going to be more disruptive than the invention of the wheel, the invention of electricity, right. or the invention of the car itself.
Right.
Largely because we have more people on the planet right now, but just things happen much quicker nowadays. And so this will start affecting so many more people. And so if you think about it, a driverless technology, how does that start affecting our lives? Well, it touches us in ways that we hadn't expected, because it eliminates lots of driving positions. But as we have, somebody's going to own these fleets of cars that we can summon when we need them. We jump in a car and we take mm-hmm. off whenever we need one. Somebody has to own them. Somebody also has to clean them. Somebody has to maintain them. And so there's a lot of work that's surrounding it. So we need this ground crew of support for,
right.
Whether it's flying drones or driverless cars. All of this stuff starts changing the job landscape, and that affects our income streams. It affects the business world.
Mm-hmm.
It affects who gets the money and who doesn't get the money. And so it's a great change agent, if you will.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. So AI is going to, it's basically, I say this all the time, it changes our lives and in every aspect of our lives. So the changes that we've seen so far, which we're quite fascinated by, are just really a drop in the bucket to all the possibilities that AI is going to have in our lives. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Because it will absolutely touch every aspect of our lives. And it's not just ours. Every person on planet Earth is going to be affected by these technologies.
Right.
And
absolutely.
whether it's sensor technology or AI or 3D printing or driverless technology or drones, these things go out and they really touch the lives of so many people.
Exactly.
And sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad, but there's always people that take this technology
absolutely.
That is developed with the best of intentions, and they figure out how to use it in the wrong way.
Absolutely. But that's with everything.
Yeah.
That's with everything. Right. So we can't throw away the baby with the bathwater, though.
Exactly.
It's important that we're careful, you know, and don't judge it negatively from the onset, because it has that possibility, because honestly, everything has that possibility.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want you to give me, what do you envision as the top two or maybe three disruptive innovation technologies that are going to change our lives in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think driverless technology is going to be one of the most disruptive. I think artificial mm-hmm. intelligence, I think 3D printing, all of these, I think are going to have just a massive, huge effect on us. And then the cryptocurrency blockchain technology, that's going to force us to think about the financial world in a lot of different ways as well. Mm-hmm. So that, when I talk about these things, it opens up a giant can of worms.
yeah, I bet it does. Again, AI is a wonderful thing. You know, technology is amazing, and it really does have this power to change our lives, and that's awesome. But we want to also be aware of the fact that we can actually use it, because we always think of technology as something that somebody else has to use. Whereas I think it's coming closer and closer to people that have these ideas and these inventions, with something like 3D printing going to people like, you know, my friend Tracy Hazard, and bringing them the idea and working with them together to develop it. Whereas right. before, I think it took so much more to get things done. I think technology is actually giving you that opportunity for the layperson to be able to have access to it and to be able to use it. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think that's the fascinating, you know, that things don't longer have to stay in our head, that we can actually, you know, bring it to fruition. I mean, whether it becomes the next big thing or not, yeah. that's not the point, but to have the potential of working with it and doing it is, to me, is fascinating. Would you agree?
That's some of the biggest challenges, to get the user interface so that it's easy for people to use, to bring it down to that first time user level so that it's just so stupid simple that anybody right. can do it. If you can do that, I mean, if you can take the complexity of life and move it down so that anybody can do it, then you've got a massive, huge business or an industry that you've just right. created just because you've made it easy. And a lot of the new technology is suffering from bad user interface. So we have to work our way through that to get to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say, because I have 1,000 ideas here. How would you say that foresight could be incorporated into AI? How do we use AI to our advantage and in yeah. helping businesses and companies and even individuals? How do we use that?
Well, you know, one of the easiest interface examples is that of the car. We know we can get into a car, we can use a steering wheel and a gas pedal and a brake, and that's all we need to know about driving a car. But with AI, we don't have the same physical things that we can just grab onto, and so we have to do these mental calculations of how does this work and how do we interface with it. And so it somehow has to recognize us. It has to understand us. And I think that's what we get to in the future here. And in the world of education, I think the world of education becomes a system where we have AI-enhanced teacher bots. Then the teacher bots then starts to learn who we are. It learns our idiosyncrasies, our proclivities. It learns our key reference points, the topics that we're interested in. It learns when we're functional, when we're non-functional, when our brain is alive and well, and when we're in a relaxation mode. So it knows everything about us. And then it'll learn what skills that we have, what skills we're proficient in. And it'll understand what we're lacking. And it'll be able to teach us the things that we're lacking and bring us up to speed. So it'll know when things are working, when they're not working, and when we've mastered a new skill. So that's where I think the world of education shifts dramatically right. around these AI teacher bots. And I think exactly. that's not too far off in the future.
So here are my takeaways. My takeaway is that technology will change the way our future functions, our daily functioning. AI is going to be involved in all of that. It also, my other takeaway is that 3D printing is going to be available to a lot more people, and that they're going to have the ability to be able to use it to create their ideas and to facilitate their lives, to make it easier.
Right.
And we're going to be able to have a lot more hands-on with robots. We're going to have a lot of input into what this robot can do for us. So right. those are my takeaways, and I think that's fascinating. Thank you so much, Tom, because this was awesome. I think this was a great interview, and I really enjoy you bringing it and you simplifying a very complex, very complex topic, because AI just seems like, I hear so many people that are so afraid of it. You know, they're gonna it's gonna take over the world, it's gonna take over, our lives. This is my conversation on a regular basis with so many of my clients and, people that read our magazine and come on the show. They're like, this is gonna be terrible, like we're not gonna have jobs. But if we think back, I mean, they used to, in the street lamps, they used to be, it was oil until electricity came. So this is an evolution and this is life, but understanding that we have the power to manage it. So that's been my biggest takeaway. So do you have any closing points?
So the one key thing to remember is that we're not automating jobs out of existence. We're automating tasks out of existence. So it's not that the entire job goes away, it's just parts of the job do. And so the job itself then will get redefined. And so naturally we can do a lot of these jobs with fewer people in the future, but all of this is shifting and changing as we move forward.
Right. And the more efficient you become, then the better the chance that you keep your job, because you'll be the person that actually creates that change. Okay, so thank you so much to my audience. I say thank you so much for being here with another amazing futurist. And today we talked about technology. If you want to have more information about technology, please go to our magazine. We have topics. Every month we have a different topic and we have covered AI. So I would love for you to read up on it. Until then, I'll see you guys next week with another futurist and more information on how to simplify your life with futuring. Until then, I'll see you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Foresight Strategy Show. You can hear host Dr. Nilda, co-host Rachel with feature guests every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live or anytime on demand. Visit www.drnildaperez.com/show. For more information, sign up to our Foresight Strategies Insider newsletter, a $10 value for free at www.drnildaperez.com/newsletter.